Okay, I'm Brian Forster, and I'm at UFO MegaCon in Laughlin, Nevada, with Captain Ron. We're going to be discussing ancient megalithic sites, elongated skulls, and whatever else fits in the time slot we've got.
Hey, truth be told, Captain Ron here, back at the 2020 UFO Mega Conference in Laughlin, Nevada. And our dear friend of the show, Brian Forster, is here, and he's kind enough to sit down once again, as he always is, to sit down and talk to us, give us some updates about him traveling the world and seeing all the megalithic structures, and it's one of my favorite things. And thanks for sitting down, Brian.
My pleasure, Captain Ron.
I think we talked at, must have been Contact in the Desert, or maybe one after that, and we were getting an update. You had the Paracas skulls, and you were doing the DNA testing on them. Mm-hmm. And we got somewhat of an update then, but now it's been almost another year. Have you got some new information for us on that?
Yeah, well, basically, it's turning out that the original Paracas people of the coast of Peru were not Native American.
Oh.
So if they were Native American, they would have the maternal haplogroup of B.
Okay.
So only two of the 20 skulls tested had that. The others were not from indigenous to the Americas whatsoever.
Right, we were shocked. It was over in the Middle East, I think we were even finding some of them. It was not even in South America at all.
No, it's actually Eurasia.
Eurasia, okay. Yeah. So who would have thought that would have been?
I know, that's the bizarre thing, is that different haplogroups, which are like U2, H, K, R, are all basically emanate from the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea area. And that's where you find the other largest elongated skulls in the world.
Right.
There.
So that's fascinating. I mean, that's really something. Has anthropology jumped on this?
No, they're completely blocking it.
Why does this happen, Brian? It's amazing. It seems to me like now you've got the DNA studying. That's science. There's the DNA.
Yeah.
You got to accept it, right?
Yeah. Well, the main thing is I don't really care about academia anymore. I think this belongs to the general public. So that's why we're broadcasting it through you and others, straight to the people, and no longer through the firewall of...
But you're also showing that it's not like some people obviously in this community think this could be alien skulls or whatever, but it seems like that's not necessarily the case. It seems most likely that there's some human in there, right? What are you guys coming up with?
Yeah, well, it seems we can trace them back to the Black Sea, Caspian Sea area, but before that, we simply don't know.
I see.
So how they would... Again, it goes back to the whole thing of these elongated skulls, which are larger than a normal skull. And the Paracas, we figured out, due to morphological physical differences, were not Homo sapiens sapiens. And that's the process I think you have to go through. You can't jump from not human to alien, but you can...
Right, but people do. That's why
they
I'm
do.
Bringing it up. That's
yeah,
what
they
I'm
do.
Saying.
Yeah, they do. Right. But if you can say they weren't Homo sapiens sapiens...
Where on the tree are they?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm glad you're still moving that process forward, and I guess hopefully eventually we'll get some more answers, right? I mean, is there more things planned? What's the next?
Yeah, we actually were able to get samples of the nuclear DNA from two perfectly preserved skulls. That's the paternal father side.
This is great.
So that's being analyzed right now.
Awesome. Yeah. So then next time we'll have some more information.
Yeah, hopefully by Contact in the Desert and
oh, that's
late
soon.
May. Yep.
Oh, that would be great. You've also, you do a lot of stuff in South America, obviously. You've had some geologists that have been studying the weather patterns and the weathering on these rocks, and they're showing that they're definitely thousands of years old. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they're pre-Inca.
Right.
So do you want to expound on that a little bit about some of these newer things that it shows for sure that it can't be the Inca? It's got to be before that.
Yeah, well, we've had different geologists come with us, and the weathering patterns on the stone, they say, is several thousand years old. The Inca only existed in that area of Peru from about 1000 AD to about 1532. So that's hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
If this is thousands of years ago, and very high, precise stonework, which the Inca were not capable of, and usually it's the foundation work, which is the megalithic. So the Inca simply built on top of what they found.
Right, always. With this, they use the little stones, mm-hmm. the newer ones, on top of these giant 150-ton rocks, right? There's some that are
in
that
some
large.
Cases.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And we still don't know who put those there, right?
No, that's, again, it's either an ancient high-tech human civilization or something more exotic than that.
Right. As you and I have said before, it's either we had a technology that we've lost through time, or we had help from elsewhere. It's got to be one of those two. Now, the other thing is, I think you've seen more of these examples, even in Egypt, where you're seeing more advanced stonework. Like you can see some saw marks and some cuts in the things. What are you gathering in that? Are you seeing? Obviously, it's evidence of advanced machining.
It is, yeah.
And they say that we didn't have that.
Right.
But clearly, you guys are finding saw marks, and you can see grooves cut to the same depth and three grooves right together. So that's showing something, right?
Well, the dynastic Egyptians were a Bronze Age culture in general, and bronze can't cut harder, you know, hard stone. And we're seeing very even machining marks in places around the Giza Plateau and other parts of Egypt, but also at Baalbek in Lebanon and Petra in Petra, of course, and also another site called Little Petra. You see machining marks on the walls, machining marks on the ceilings, very even patterns, you know, that couldn't have been done with hand tools.
Right, now how, but mainstream archaeology has always said this was done with hand tools. So how does that, are they accepting this now, or are you still butting up against them?
No, they largely ignore all of this evidence. And it's quite possible that they're not even aware of the tool marks, because I don't think they, I tend to look from the technical side at how stuff was done. They're more into who did it, and they're trapped in their own paradigms in terms of a specific culture got there at a certain time and did all this monumental work, which is clearly impossible.
Yeah, I see, but see this, I feel like you have certainly uncovered some evidence that's clearly advanced machining. You've got pictures, we've got video, we've got many examples of this. I wish that could go to the archaeological community and they could address it. You know, I want to get them on board instead of always working in opposition of people like yourself.
Yeah, but again, I'm, you know, I used to battle with them. I don't bother anymore. If they don't want to look at this stuff, then I just present it to the public.
Yeah, this is the consensus here. A lot of these guys are like, I don't care if they get it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
I found it. I saw it. I'm putting it out there. That's an interesting position. It bothers me. You know, Robert Schock has, to me, shown the date of the Sphinx clearly much older than they say it is. He's proved it geologically.
Sure.
He studied it with the rainfall, the water. He's proven that. Of course, I don't know anything, but he lays out a pretty good case.
Oh yeah.
And yet they still reject it, and I don't understand that. It seems like this is science. He can prove it. He's a geologist. It's amazing how they still butt up against it.
No, but the good thing is that, you know, he was in battling them, I think, in 1992 or something like that. It's 2020 now. More than 200 geologists back up what he says.
Yeah.
So when you have 200 plus geologists saying yes, that's water weathering, had to have been precipitation 10, 12, or more thousand years ago, then there you have a very large group of academics saying that's what it is. So for Egyptologists or anyone else to try to go against that is not a scientifically acceptable approach.
I think they need to throw out the books and rewrite them and say this is the new way, because you've got all this support,
right.
200 and some people, but that hasn't happened yet. You know what I mean? It's still not completely accepted, even though more people are on board.
Yeah.
It's like these things move so glacially, I can't stand it.
Yeah, it takes for a generation of academics to retire before.
It does seem to be the pattern. And he, much like yourself, doesn't care.
Yeah.
He says, this doesn't bother me. I'm like, it would drive me crazy that you've proven something. He's like, I know I'm right. I've got the facts in front of me, and I've got these other people supporting me. Eventually it will go.
Yeah.
It just takes so long.
No, but I think the more that the general public is exposed to this, that's what's important. It's a groundswell from the people, not from getting approval from anybody else. You know, the saw marks are obvious. They can't be modern because some of these sites are located miles away from any possible power source, and the weathering shows you that they're not modern or even probably dynastic, so they have to be older. Mm-hmm. That's simply the way it is. And, you know, the more we work, the more evidence we get. And that's why there isn't so much academic opposition. They're just not addressing the issue. So that shows that they're on the defense, you know, out of a level of fear, I think, in some ways.
I find this stuff just fascinating. If you don't know Brian for some reason, go to YouTube. It's so great. He will walk around these sites from all over the world just like a regular guy walking down with a camera, and you can actually see what they're like. And it's, I really genuinely enjoy them, and I've learned a lot about it from Brian. What have, in the last year, have you seen anything new? Any places you've been that you hadn't seen before that are exciting to you?
Oh yeah, we went to Turkey and we spent 13 days. We went to Göbekli Tepe and also Derinkuyu, the underground city, and all sorts of stuff.
That's fantastic.
Turkey gets a lot of tourism, but not a lot of tourism from the perspective of looking at the possibility of ancient technology. And it's like a treasure trove of fascinating places.
Yeah, and then Jordan's over there, that's where Petra is. Petra's amazing too.
Well, Petra's 7 miles long. People keep thinking of Petra as being
a building. They think that
a building,
right.
And it's like that's 1% of the site. There are chambers cut out of the bedrock that are 300,000 cubic feet in size, and it's like you're not doing that with chisels.
300,000 square
feet? At least three of them that size.
Jesus, think about how long that would take with a chisel.
Just couldn't be done.
Couldn't be done.
Couldn't be done.
So these are amazing things, and I like calling more attention to it. What about down in South America where you're at? You're mostly down there, right? You're in
that's
Cusco.
That's where I live. Yeah. Not so much new there. We're going back to Egypt, March of 2020, and then right after that we're going to Israel because I've seen that there's evidence of megalithic work very close to Temple Mount and Western Wall.
Like that's exciting.
Yeah, there's at least one 500-ton block that's
Jesus.
In place. And that doesn't fit in with all the rest of the work.
My favorite two I'm so bad with pronunciations, I apologize. Is it Ollantumbo or whatever? Is that
Ollantaytambo?
Much better. Much better than I said.
Close enough.
Isn't that insane how we were talking with Brad Olson earlier, how they move those so far and so high and they're so heavy. Isn't that to me is one of the most remarkable, that and Baalbek are the strongest evidence to me that nobody's explained it enough yet.
Yeah, well, Ollantaytambo, I've covered that quite extensively.
Yeah.
But Baalbek is fascinating in that there is one stone there called the Stone of the Pregnant Woman that's 1,200 tons. But within the last year, they've excavated just to the left-hand side, and they've uncovered one that's 1,600 tons.
Right, 1,600. I got it right here. 1,600 tons.
Yeah.
1,600 tons. It's unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
That has to. I don't know what it proves, but that shows us something that we have this, and it's definitely not natural. It's clearly machined.
Oh well.
Not meant machine's the wrong word.
No, but the sense of scale. The other great thing about Baalbek is that you're only given access to like the central core of the complex,
you know. Oh, is that right?
Which is away from, it's about a mile from the quarry. The quarry's a mile from there. And first time we went, we were allowed inside, and you get to see some of the big stones. But the Trilithon, which are three 1,000 ton blocks, you weren't allowed to access. When we went last time, which was, I think, April of this year, our guide, he said, what do you want to see? And I said, only the megalithic. And we were allowed access to everything. There's this huge wall of 800 ton blocks that we didn't see before.
Wow.
All of Baalbek is open now, which is fantastic.
And so these stones moved a mile? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I never knew it was that far. That's insanity.
Yeah.
What is your guess for how they did this?
Levitation, I think.
I've heard that again too, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not tree,
they,
not
auditory,
tree
they somehow resonated the frequency somehow or
I
something?
I think so, yeah. They matched something in the material itself that allowed them to be able to neutralize gravity. And, you know, with something that big, there's nothing you can use as rollers, you know, to roll a you know, there are probably 20 or 30 or 40 of these 800-ton blocks. It's not like there's one or two. And they fit together. You can't fit a human hair in the joinery as well.
How is that possible? I mean, it's just so amazing to me.
Yeah.
And to be that size, now how do you move them? How do you? You wouldn't make 40 of them if it wasn't something that was easy to do.
Yeah.
It's just wouldn't be. There's a guy here, Dr. Sam, about the Bolivian pyramid. Have you looked at that at all?
Oh, the Bosnian ones.
Excuse me, the Bosnian one, not Bolivia. Bosnia.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where it is, or Bolivia? You know, the giant pyramid that he says could be 30,000 years old?
Yeah, that's Bosnia.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he's invited me to go. I've never been, and I really don't comment on places I haven't physically been to, because seeing a picture of something is nothing compared to the perspective of walking around something.
As soon as I saw his stuff, I thought, got to get you down there. It'd be great to have you get a little firsthand look, show us what you think.
Well, he has invited me, I just haven't gone yet.
I think it'd be great. Yeah. It's certainly interesting.
Yeah.
And he certainly made some interesting discoveries, and the tunnels are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next on the agenda for you?
Well, like I said, next month we're going to Egypt for my 8th annual trip, and then Israel right after that, and contact in the desert after that. Then we have a big tour in Peru and Bolivia in June, and another one in November, and other things just, you know, fit in as time goes on.
As much as I enjoy hearing your knowledge on these things and these experiences, I always feel like my life is so horrible. I went from Sherman Oaks to Van Nuys last week, and next month I'm going to go to the mall. And you're going to go to all around the world to see these megalithic sites. It's such a great life you have. And I thank you for sharing it with us and sharing it on YouTube. It's such a unique way that you go out there and show these things. I think it's invaluable. Go to YouTube, check out Brian Forster. And why don't you give them your website, too? And you have tours and stuff. If you want to take one of these tours, this is the way to do it, for real.
Well, I've got 37 books out. I've got 1,350 YouTube videos. And you can access everything at my website, which is hiddenincatours.com.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, Brian, and talking to us. For Truth Be Told, I am Captain Ron here at the UFO Mega Conference in Laughlin, Nevada. Thanks.